الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic study class is about to begin. Do not forget to have next to you your Quran or paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject will be the farewell speech or the last sermon given by Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing be upon him. And so I'm going to read through this sermon, and then I'm going to unpack it and just pour some of the various, ideas and thoughts that he said in his last speech or sermon that he said to the people. And this was taking place after they finished making the Hajj. And the Hajj, I talked about that before, is one of the pillars of our faith. And if anyone can afford to do so, they should make the Hajj at least once in their lifetime. It was during that time, he met with about, say, almost 200,000 people. And then he stopped on a particular area. And then he, what they call Mount Arafat. And then he gave his speech. He gave his speech to the people, and this is kind of a reminder to the people of what they're supposed to do and not supposed to do. And he said, and what he said during the sermon was this: all praise is due to Allah. So we praise Him and seek His pardon, and we turn to Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our deeds. Whom Allah guides aright, there is none to lead him astray. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the One, having no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty, and to Him is due our praise. He grants life and causes death and is powerful over everything. There is no God but Allah, the One. He fulfilled His promise and granted victory to His bondsmen, and He alone rooted the enemies of Islam. O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I do not know whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I have to say, what I've been saying to you carefully, and take these words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, and this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owner. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah has forbidden you to take usury, interest, therefore, or interest obligation. shall henceforth be waged. Be aware of Shaitan, or beware of Shaitan, for your safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things, so beware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have right over you. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. It is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you have not approved, as well as never to commit adultery. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah. Say your five daily prayers, Salah. Fast on the month of Ramadan. And give your wealth in charity. Or give your wealth in zakat, which is a form of charity. Perform Hajj if you can afford to. You know that every Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. All mankind is from Adam and Eve, and an Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over a black, nor a black have any superiority over a white, except by piety and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslim constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate unto a Muslim that belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not, therefore, do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will meet Allah and answer your deeds. So beware. Do not astray from the path of righteousness after I'm gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand my words that I convey to you. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to those and to others, and those up to others again. And may the last one understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be you my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. And so now I want to do, it's a very short sermon, so now what I want to do is kind of unpack some of the things that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said in this particular sermon, that he said to the people, or the last directive or instruction he gave to the people that were there before him. And of course, he first said that I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Allah has no partner, and that he is the king over everything. He's the one that resides over everything, and to him is due all praise, and also that Allah is the one that gives life and causes death, and he has power over everything. This is something that we can keep in mind. That we say he is Allah, he is the one and only. He begets not, nor he begotten. There is none like unto him. Allah does not sleep or slumber. He does not get fatigue. Like us as human beings, we have to take a rest. We have to sleep, and we don't sleep. Don't get a certain amount of sleep. For many of us, we cannot function the next day. And so we need our sleep. Allah does not need sleep. He does not get tired. He's not a human being or like human beings. And that Allah, He's the one that causes life, and also He causes death, and He has power over everything. Everything that we see, everything that we know about, Allah knows about that. Allah knows He could see a black ant sit on a black rock on a black night. He could very well see everything that we do, and also He knows about everything that we say. So we need to keep this in mind. He first expressed to the people about the oneness of Allah, the position of Allah. Allah is the position on His throne as He sees fit for Him to be over His throne. And then He said it again. There is no God but Allah, the One. And also He's also the one that protects us from our enemies, those who dislike us, those who want to destroy us, those who want to make us more like them and get off the path towards Allah. He's the one that's going to try to root these people out and expose these people, those people who are hypocrites. And so also Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he told him what a hypocrite is. And he said, a hypocrite, they make a promise, they don't keep their promise. A hypocrite is the person you give them something and they don't return it back. You say, here, hold this for me, and you never see that thing again. And so these are people that are considered hypocrites. And also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he mentioned about regarding the life and property of every Muslim, and that is important, that is sacred. And that we are not to keep, like I said before about the hypocrite, we're not to keep people's property. They give it to us, they entrust it to us, and we're supposed to give it back to them. Matter of fact, there were times before the Prophet Muhammad, and peace be upon him, he was going to leave Mecca to go to Medina. And before he left Mecca, people entrusted him. They entrusted him with everything. This was Muslims, now Muslims, they entrusted him with their property. Because he was very trustworthy. He was always known as a trustworthy individual. And so much so, he could just left Mecca and just left the people's stuff in his house and said, get whatever belongs to you, I'm not responsible for it anymore. No, he didn't do that. He made sure that everyone received what they gave to him and trusted to him before he left. Then later on that night, wherever he decided to go with his people, because they were having a hard time of living in Mecca. They were giving them a really hard time. They were beating them up and dragging them all over the place and putting them inside of what we call iron armor, and then sit them in the hot sun until they almost baked like inside of an oven, a stove. And so they really were very crude to the people, drag them through the hot, over the hot sand on the back of a horse. They would drag these people. And so they really treated them very, very, in a very bad way. And so, but the Prophet, even with all the treatment, the bad treatment of the people, and also them really plotting to kill him, and that he did what he had, and they were entrusted with this property of the people. He made sure all the people received their property back. That's how trustworthy the man was. He was like was on a line, and they were going to kill the man. He said, "No, before I go, let me give back what the people had entrusted to me." And so he gave everything back to the people, as it says here. And he told also the Muslims, he said, regarding the life and the property of every Muslim, as a sacred trust, return the goods entrusted to you unto their rightful owner. And so he instructed them to be like him and return anything entrusted to me as a Muslim, I return it to the trust to the owner. It's in a manner. If someone, for example, my organization, Muslim Social Services Agency, if someone gives a certain amount of money and say, use this money for X, whatever it may be, for feeding the people, for rent for the people, for this particular individual or this particular family, they put it in a manner to me. I'm not bragging. I'm just give you an example. They gave, in a manner that they gave to me, they entrusted this particular money to me that I'm going to spend it properly. And so I spent it, my organization, we spent it properly. And it says spend it on this particular program, on this particular person, on this particular family, and we had to do so. And that's what we did. And to him, Prophet Muhammad, he died over 1,400 years ago. And to this day, we do the same practice all over the world of what he instructed us to do as Muslim. And that is when someone entrusts something to you and that you will make sure that you give it to the rightful owner or that you do what you're supposed to do with what is entrusted to you. And it's also mentioned that hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. And that's other thing that we as Muslims, we are supposed to do, and that we are not supposed to, excuse me, we are not supposed to hurt anyone, and also no one is may hurt us. And so we may have the upper hand. We may have the upper hand and be able to hurt someone with no problem and don't even expect anything, and they're going to hurt us back. But that's not the issue. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he instructs us not to do it, then we don't do it. And we don't go around hurting people. Also, it says, Allah has forbidding you to take usury. Therefore, all interest, obligation shall henceforth be waived. And so we as Muslims, we are not to take usury or interest. I know in America and other places, they have interest. For example, if you borrow money from a person or a bank or something like that, then they may charge you a certain amount of interest. You borrow $100, they charge you 10% interest on that, then you're going to give them $110 back. So you're going to give them the $100 that you borrowed plus an extra $10. So we can't do anything like that. We can't buy, a Muslim can't buy cars like that. If they say we're going to give you and show you this car, and we're going to put X amount of interest on you buying this car. And so that means that basically that over a certain amount of time, 5 years, 6 years, something like that, they're going to put basically monthly interest, say 4% interest on you bought a car for, let's say, for example, $40,000. And so they're going to put a certain amount of interest, 40% interest on that $40,000 that you borrow. So you're going to pay back the $40,000 over 5 years and plus the additional of 40% of that $40,000. We cannot get involved in that at all. I know you may have some people that say it's okay, but the Prophet Muhammad, he said, that is not okay. And he says here, and one of the things that he said in his last sermon, he said, Allah has forbidden you to take usury or interest. Therefore, all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. So it's waived then, and it's waived now. We can't get involved in it at all. Now, we do have, for example, if I want to buy a house, I may go to an organization that's going to sell me. They're going to buy the house for a certain amount of money, and then they may sell the house to me for a certain amount of money, and nothing changed. They say, okay, I'm going to go in and buy this house for example, $50,000. I'm going to sell it to you for example, $55,000, just for an example. Okay, that's what they say, because they have the right basically to sell the house for the amount they want to sell the house. And I know some people say you may call it interest, but from our understanding from an Islamic standpoint, this is not interest. It's just that this is a price that the new buyer is selling the house for. And I have the choice to buy the house for $55,000 or not buy the house for $55,000. That's my prerogative, or that's my choice to do so. But I can, of course, buy the house or not buy the house. And nothing changes over a certain time. It doesn't change to more than $55,000 or less than $55,000. It's just that's how much the person is now charging for the house And then, of course, you pay a certain money down, and then basically you're buying the person out, and you and a person own the house together, and then what happens is that you pay something per month, and your ownership of the house becomes larger, and their ownership of the house becomes smaller until you buy them out, and then the house belongs all to you. And the same thing kind of situation with a car. Is that if I want to buy a car, same kind of thing. The car costs $30,000, for example. And a person saying, okay, I'm going to sell you this car for $45,000. And I said, okay, agreed. And I pay $45,000 for the car. Or if I put down a certain amount of money towards the car, and then per month, I would pay whatever it costs until I buy this car fully from this individual. And they also had another situation. I know I'm kind of going a little bit off topic, but they all had another situation where a person came, for example, I'm a businessman. I want to open a business. And so what happens is that I have the money and I'll buy the business for you. And then you run the business. And then I get, instead of you going to the bank and borrowing money from the bank and they charge you interest for borrowing money from them, you're not borrowing any money from me. What it is that I'm gonna buy this business. You have the expertise to run the business, and so I put you in charge of running the business, and I get a certain amount of money for you running the business. If that's our agreement be okay, I get a certain money for a certain amount of time, and you may buy me out. And I'm no longer the owner of the business because you've now bought me out. It's different kind of versions of this. These are not considered interest, but there's certain things that can be done. As a matter of fact, I advise people who have banks to try this because you're missing really a lot of people that may be, and this is just for me, that may instead of them having interest, from you, borrowing money from you and you compound interest on you, then you may want to buy the person's car or buy a person's house and just charge them this amount of money for the house or for the car and no interest at all. And then they agree, I'm going to pay this amount of money, $40,000 or $45,000 or $55,000 or $60,000 for this particular item. I'm going to buy from you for this amount, and it just stays that amount. Be it 5 years for a car, or 15 years for a house, or 30 years for a house, it does not change. So let me move on. Again, the prophet advised the people. He said, Allah has forbidden you to take interest, therefore all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. And so the other thing that the Prophet Muhammad, the peace be upon him, he said to the people, he said, beware of Shaitan for your safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. Now Shaitan, or the devil, he got respite from Allah. He said when he disobeyed Allah, Allah instructed everything to bow down to Adam, the angels, and Shaitan, and the angels bowed down, and Shaitan refused to bow down to Adam, as Allah instructed. And Allah said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you not bowing down to Adam as I instructed you to do so?" And then Shaitan said, "You know, you made me out of smoke and fire. He made him out of dirt or mud. He's hollow. I could go in and out of him with no problem. He's nothing. Why should I bow down to something like this? He's very hollow. You know, when you tap on something and it's hollow, you can kind of hear an echo in it, or kind of like, I want to say it's a noise. It's sort of a noise or sound when you tap on something that is hollow. And so my understanding from one scholar is that he tapped on Adam, and he said, this thing is nothing in this thing. No, nothing. Hollow. And he said, I'm not bowing down to this. And so he asked for respite, and he wanted to mislead some people. He said, I will mislead people, and those people on the right path, I will mislead these people. And Allah said, you will not be able to mislead all people. Some people, yes. But there's going to be a group of people you will not be able to mislead. And so I pray, Lord, that I and others are part of that group of people that Satan is able to mislead. And so Satan, he may not get people on large things of religion, make people miss the five daily prayers or something like that. But he may do other things to try to get us off the path of the path of Islam. And that's the same thing for you all who are now Muslim. And so he may also do things to make you not want to come to Islam, to make you drink, to make you fornicate, to make you dress in a provocative way where people can see your clothing or the outline of your body. And so, and all these kind of things that Shaitan, the small thing that Shaitan can do to you, say to you or suggest to you that you would do, and these will be the small things. May not be able to lead you on the big thing, but just the little things that you say, you know, why not? I can do that. No one's watching me or anything like that. And so you do it, but Allah is watching you. So please be very careful that Shaitan may not be able to get us lost regarding the big things, but it could get us lost regarding the small things. Also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, I think all these are important, not just I mentioned, but it's very important. He also mentioned about the women, that we do not treat our women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And so we as men, that we are not allowed to treat our women like they are not our partners. They are our aides and not our maids or our slaves. And that we try to treat the women in a certain manner, in a respectful manner. And treat them like we really do love them and not like we don't love them, like they're just no one that's important. But they are very important, and we are the ones that maintain and protect the women. The men are the maintainers and protectors of the women, and we provide for them from our sources. Our sources meaning from our jobs and what we work for, that kind of thing. We eat, they eat. If we clothe ourselves, we clothe them. If we are in the house, we have them in the house too. And so they have certain rights over us to be taken care of, to be treated honorably, to protect their honor and not to abuse them or misuse them in any kind of way. And some men may think because they're stronger than women, that they can do whatever they want to them. No, this is not the way of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. Okay? Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And so please keep in mind, for the men out there, is that, okay, you're going to treat this woman that you're married to or you're with in that manner, but would you really like someone, and you're not doing it for this reason, you're doing it because Prophet Muhammad said so, would you like for someone to mistreat your daughter or your mother or your grandmother or aunt, any female in your family, the way you treating this particular individual? The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he never raised his hand or struck a woman or struck a child or an animal. Only time he raised his hand is during wartime when someone attacked him and raised war against him. And so I think this is very important aspect of this last sermon that the Prophet Muhammad said to the people of God. He said to the people is that we are to do what we are to treat our women. We treat our women well. And last thing I want to mention real quick is that an Arab is not superior over non-Arab, or a non-Arab not superior over an Arab, and also a black person is not superior over a white person, and a white person is not superior over a black person, except by piety and good action. And I went in my previous episode, I talked about piety, which is really righteousness, being truthful, that kind of thing. And so I have that over other people, or you have that over me. And not because of the color of your skin, but no one asks to be painted in the color that we are, or select white skin or dark skin. None of us done that. So I stood in the land a line to do that. And so please, my students adhere to some of the direction of Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessing be upon him. And please keep in mind also that no other prophet, he's the last of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing upon him. And no other prophet will come after him. And no new faith will come after Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing be upon him. And all I want to remind you all, if you want to find out more information about the Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, you can also go to White Islam. You can also go to International Online University or American Open University to find out more about Islam. And you can also tune in next time to the episode, my particular program, Islamic Faith in Focus, and find out more information about the beautiful faith of Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.